As 1990 barrels toward us, our rock and roll historian Ed Ward pauses to reflect on the music that was happening the last time a new decade began. Here's the first of his two-part report.
When I took on the task of writing these pieces for Fresh Air, I realized early on that I had to put a time limit on the music I was going to discuss, to decide what was history and what wasn't, not yet. Arbitrarily, then, I decided there'd be a 10-year wait before something became eligible. What that means right now is that with the dawning of a new decade, 1980 becomes eligible for inclusion. So what did happen in 1980 anyway? Well, Pink Floyd released The Wall, The Stones released Emotional Rescue, and the heavy metal revival started, mostly in England, but it soon swept over here. Led Zeppelin's drummer John Bonham died, as did AC/DC's vocalist Bon Scott. On the other hand, the kids in Live Skull, the current grade school punk band, hadn't been born yet. And as for me, it was my first full year covering rock and roll and pop music for a daily newspaper, which meant I paid attention. In rock and roll, the big news was DOR, or Dance Oriented Rock. What this meant in practice was that, for one, Blondie, formerly a cheesy Farfisa organ-led pop combo, could rip off the bass line of Chic's Good Times and do a song about rap. It also meant a big boost for some of the more melodically inclined British performers, like Gary Numan, people who felt punk had done pop a disservice.
Here in my car, I feel safest of all. I can lock all my doors. It's the only way to live in cars. Here in my car, I can only receive. I can listen to you. It keeps me stable for dice in cars.
And in the U.S., it meant an outlet for eccentric performers who didn't look towards Britain for role models. Sort of milling around on the floor and slamming that punk had started soon brought the beat back to music that had been consumed with lassitude, or at best a strict backbeat nobody could do much with. Of all the dance music the so-called New Wave came out with that year, my favorite was coming out of the north of England, where the two-tone movement was shaking things up.
Sleep all day, it's the only way. I'm a parasite, I creep about at night.
Reviving the pre-reggae rhythms of ska, these bands were racially integrated, full of fun, and often very politically involved, particularly when it came to British Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher, whose policies had made a wasteland of their hometowns. But ska wasn't the only music being revived.
The Spanish looking for someone to hold his hand. It doesn't quite, but they understand the meaning. I never heard about Huskewald. I don't talk about Brendan Beers. I don't think about Sean O'Casey. They don't care about Bernard Shaw. He doesn't talk about Hugh Wolfbeck. He won't talk about Gina Neal. Ella O'Brien and Lauren Stern.
Kevin Rowland and Dexy's Midnight Runners felt that soul music fit the Anglo-Irish experience and had a number of hits in Britain that, I'm afraid, laid the groundwork for such soul boys as Paul Young and Wham in the years to come. Looking for records for this piece, I realized one thing. 1980 was overwhelmingly a year for singles. The do-it-yourself and forget-being-self-conscious-about-it ethos of punk had resolved into a torrent of great singles like White Girl by X, or obscurities like Roscoe's Family by No Sisters, or this catchy song about religious cults from an Austin band, Standing Waves, who have passed into history.
You don't have to think, don't worry. 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 Faith is strong. Beauty is strong.
And there was another song, soon to be recorded in a more coherent version, that really foresaw the future of rock and roll. I'll be exploring more of 1980 next year.
Ed Ward is co-author of Rock of Ages, The Rolling Stone History of Rock and Roll, and he writes for the Austin Chronicle. This is Fresh Air.